and welcome to another episode of Yet Not Alone Today podcast. My name is Anu.
And I am Joseph.
Welcome. Today's question is from Debbie. She wants to know how to handle her friend leaving the church. Debbie's friend feels the leaders are being hypocritical and that he also feels that church funds should be directed at the poor and not for what is being used for, allegedly. But so he left the church and he joined a Bible study program with his friends where they meet with each other and talk about the Bible. So Debbie's asking if that's the right approach to address the issue. And that's what we'll be discussing today. And just to let you know that we're not speaking from expertise or anything. We're just offering our thoughts and hoping to contribute to the discussion, basically, because it's been recurrent. And yes, so over to you, Pastola.
I'm actually glad you touched on the issue of the heart behind our response to these kind of questions. And indeed, for the podcast entirely, our heart is to help people. And we trust God to help us to help people and not to mislead in that sense. I mean, this is a very sensitive question. And given the context of COVID-19, virtual church, and I mean, one of the things that comes with meeting virtually on Sunday mornings is now you get to shop for churches the way you would probably shop for items. You could as well attend 3, 4, 5 services from different churches in a single Sunday, as opposed to if you had to go to a physical location and just, you know, churches are now just a click away, a Facebook page away, or a notification away, as the case may be. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But there is, I mean, Bible is clear about the fact that God plants the solitaries in families. Now, that's a scripture in the Psalms, but it captures, I believe, the heart of God for every single one of us. There is a family, a spiritual family, beyond the broad concept of the body of Christ or the family of God, the kingdom of God, into which we have come by virtue of our placing our trust in Jesus and surrendering totally to Him. But besides that, I think it is fundamentally important for every single one of us, more so if you're a young man, to be able to answer the question of which church is where God wants to plant me. And having found the answer to that, to plug yourself into that. I'm hoping you'll be chipping in some thoughts as well shortly about your own experience of church life and all of that. As a lady, if you are getting married to someone that has successfully answered that question correctly, then your job is done because you hopefully you just follow him to his church and you won't find yourself in the wrong family. But the point is, first and foremost, to make it clear, God intends to plant us in families. And just as there are so many families on the surface of the heart, everyone different in terms of their uniquenesses, preferences, eccentricities, traits, and all of that. In the same vein, there are so many churches out there. And while there is not anyone that you could call a single perfect one in that sense, the body of Christ is perfect in the sense of Jesus is our perfecter. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he's the one that is able to keep us from falling. But beyond that, when different people from different walks of life come together, there will always be issues, irrespective of so very many factors, really. Tribes, ethnicities, preferences in terms of worship music style, preaching style. We all have our tastes and preferences when it comes to all of these different indices, but there is not a single church I believe that you will get to and you will have all of your fantasies and desires and holy fantasies, even if you want to qualify them as such, met in that sense. Does that mean that whenever we see things that we don't like or that doesn't go down well with us in the family that we found ourselves in, then the next thing is to disown that family and opt for another one? Not necessarily. But indeed, there are times that it would be wise to say, oh no, this definitely is not the family for me in the sense of the church. I'm talking of a local community, a local congregation, mm-hmm. and say it's high time I wait on God and actually press in to know, where do you want me to worship in this location that you've planted me? Which family do you want me to be a part of, mm-hmm. and start functioning as a child, as a son, as a daughter, as the case may be, mm-hmm. in that particular family? So that's the fundamental foundation that I thought we should lay. Right. I don't know if you want to chip in anything on, or pick on anything I've said so far.
I like how you said functioning. Mm. So it's not just being in the church and being fed mm-hmm. the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's also you contributing to the overall vision of the church.
That's right.
It's functioning. Something that functions is always active.
Mm.
So if you're an active member of the church, mm-hmm. you will take less notice of the things that are not fulfilling your holy fantasies. No, let's use the word fantasies. I'm just saying something else in my head. So it will be hard for holy you to spot that it's not even holy, just preferences.
Just preferences. Yeah.
So it will be hard for you to spot things that are not meeting your expectation or your preference, because you're actively involved. What I found is that God has planted us in the churches that we are in now to give more of ourselves. I will explain what I mean.
Okay.
So obviously, I'm a woman here, mm-hmm. and I'm married to a pastor. Mm-hmm. No, not let me even talk about your role. I'm married to Kola. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that meant that I would leave my church to go to your church.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did that was helpful for me before we got married is, before we got married, I was attending my mom's church and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed everything they did. But then I wasn't engaging as such. I think I was part of the choir. I wasn't functioning at my utmost. I knew that. Somehow I knew that I was just there temporarily.
Mm.
So when I met you, the Holy Spirit told me to start attending Colors Church.
Mm.
Because from what he has told me,
a branch of my church in your area, not like the church where I am personally.
Oh yes, because you were living in different states there.
Yeah.
Because what Kola told me about his church was like, it was cultural shock to me. Because the church I was attending, it's a trendy church. It was trendy is the word. Trendy church, and I liked it.
Mm.
But whenever he talks about his church, I hear things like women sit on one side and men sit on another side. A church where you can't wear trousers too. And then I was wearing trousers. A church where jewelry is a bit like, don't wear too much. But yeah, just make it.
A conservative church.
A church where the choir wears a uniform. I was amazed and at the same time curious. But someone in the Spirit told me to start attending Colors Church. I felt like, okay. I started attending the church. I even went all the way, got my uniform sewed by a tailor. Very nice hat. And my mom bought me hats and things like that. So I started attending and I got to know the system. And where I'm going with this is, I was prepared for what I was getting married into. Mm. You know, when you were talking, when you were laying the background foundation, you said, if the man has found a good church,
mm-hmm.
then the lady's problem is solved, is half solved or solved.
Mm.
But I think it will be much more solved if it's also where you want to be.
Mm. If you would own it.
Yes, it's one thing for your husband to be attending a church. It's another thing for you to actually feel like you're a part of that church.
Mm.
So going from my experience, attending his church before I got married prepared me for what I'm getting into. So apart from the conservativeness, which was amusing to me, sorry to say, not amusing, but I felt like, oh, okay, wait, the 70s here, but yeah. Apart from that, they had a core
doctrine,
yes. I didn't miss what I had in my church.
Mm.
And what I was saying, my church was trendy and theirs was conservative. The more I got into the church, the more I saw that those sisters that I saw wearing skirts, there is more to their, they had their own kind of trendy that I wasn't used to, but then I got used to it and I liked it. And the thing that actually helped more is that when I got in, I didn't just sit back. I got into the choir. Mm. Then I got into the children's department. So being a part of them and liking the whole new process helped me more. Mm. So what I'm trying to say to you listeners is that own where you are.
Mm.
be a functioning member of the your
functioning body.
Yeah, if you're the shoulder, move it as much as you can. Don't just say, because I don't like, I'm not gonna move. Yeah,
that's interesting, especially for the context of those that would be marrying into a church, to use your language. That's really helpful. They say uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. If you see yourself as part of a system, so to speak, and there are cracks or there are issues in that system, if you've honed that system to say, this is, I'm part of this system, then the issues that you spot as the issues of the leaders is not just the issues of the leaders, it's our issue. And so your attitude will be different.
Yes.
It's just like being a part of a biological family, and things looking a little different from how you would want it to be.
Yes.
You can look at another family and judge them, but until you are in that family as a member of that family and living their lives in the fullness of the context in which they are situated, you will not be able to fully appreciate the kind of judgments and criticisms that you are given, whether or not they are valid or not. So having said that, that's just to lay the grounds for, to say what Debbie's friend has seen. Could it be that one, Debbie's friend himself has not owned his membership in that church?
Okay.
And that could justifiably be so, because perhaps that's not the church where he's supposed to be. There are many churches or expressions of churches all around the world, and there are churches where there are practices that are just totally questionable. The core criterion, I believe, for what a church should be like is that it must be biblical. They must be biblical in their orientation and in their practices, in their doctrines and in their praxis, in how they do church. And if indeed it is clear and evident that is missing, then the core ingredient of what makes a church is missing. That's not a family for you to be situated in. If that's the case for Debbie's friend, then walking away is not a bad thing to do. And maybe joining a Bible study in the meantime, while you pray for God to lead you correctly to where he wants you to be situated, from where you flourish as a moving, functioning part of a moving, functioning organism, then that's okay. But if he has owned it, if there was once upon a time where he had felt like, oh wow, I'm at home here, this is where God wants me to be, and all of a sudden some other things started happening, and he just wakes up one day and decides it's time to go and move on and do something else, or maybe just totally leave church and opt for something that is an equivalent, perhaps in his own estimation, let me just hang out with my buddies and have Bible study together and we'll just be fine. No. Then the point is, we must bring it back to, what exactly, why do we need church? Why do we need church as we know it traditionally? And of course, when I say traditionally, the fact is, with COVID and post-COVID era that we're looking at, church will never look the same way it has always looked. But then we will still need that gathering of people. Yes. We will always need it. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter made that profound revelational statement about Christ, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God," he said, on this rock, on this revelation, on this solid revelation of Jesus as the Son of the living God, the center of our faith, the author and the finisher of the faith, upon this revelation, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And then if you continue to look at the unveiling story or narrative through the New Testament, you begin to see that it becomes practically, there is no church without, there is nothing called a church until people come together. In fact, Jesus will go on to say somewhere again in that same context in Matthew, that when two of you shall come together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. As though to say, it's always about that coming together.
Yes.
But if you look at all of the letters, the epistles that we have from Paul, from Peter, from Jude, from John, and all of these apostolic fathers that wrote, there is something about unity that is being stressed. Jesus himself prayed for unity in John 17. And the reason why there is that need for unity is because fundamentally, church is a place for different people.
Mm.
It's a place for all sorts of people. In fact, the culmination of church, as we see in Revelation, is a place whereby people from every tribe and tongue will come together to be worshiping God. Every nation, every tribe, every ethnicity, every tongue. It can't get more variant and more different than that.
Mm.
And so necessarily, church, therefore, the picture of what we see as church in the Bible, in the New Testament, is a picture of all sorts of people coming together, Jews and Gentile, people that are culturally divergent, people that don't think, talk, look alike.
True.
And they are coming together because of that Son of the Living God that holds them together, the foundation upon which they come together.
Mm.
So when church becomes a place where we only feel comfortable in as much as our preferences are met and satisfied, I think that's almost becoming idolatrous, whereby we are placing our preferences ahead of the centrality of what church should be, a place where it's the body of Christ, a local expression of the body of Christ. It's all about Christ.
Mm.
And as long as Christ is the one that we are worshiping, every other thing fades. They might not sing the way you want them to sing, but is that song Christ exalting? Go for it. They might not pray the way you want prayers to be, but is that prayer Christocentric? Go for it. They might not do many other things. Their praxis might not look, the leadership style might not exactly look like the way you would want it to be, but as long as Christ is being glorified, I think that we can make room for some allowances, and perhaps, who knows, maybe the things that you're seeing might become portals or opportunities for you to serve,
exactly,
for you to give, for you to contribute, for you to do something, because sometimes God leads us that way. He leads us by our frustrations, and your frustration becomes an assignment, becomes a calling, becomes a responsibility for you to fix. So maybe the church leaders are mismanaging funds because there's nobody that is gifted enough to steward or model accountability for them, or put structures and systems in place that would make accountability possible.
True.
If you are the one that is gifted as such, then use that gift. Mm. Volunteer that gift in a way that would make things work out better rather than jumping ship. I think I've said so much, so I'll take a break.
Okay, thank you for that.
Well,
thank you. That was, what you said was just brilliant. What I wanted to add is to say that I have noticed that most of us that complain are the people that we feel we have so much in us to just sit in the place that is not adding to us. So then we choose to leave. And this might not apply to you, but in my experience, it happens where we've just transitioned from a university's fellowship to a new church. And in fellowship, if you've been to Nigerian University, you go to Nigerian Fellowship, it's very hot and tongue-speaking and fire-branded. And the reason is because we all are like-minded people, all students,
young and vibrant.
Whereas in church, we have married people. And now that I'm married yet, the longer you get married, your strength just goes, like, it wanes. For real, you won't be like your 24-year-old self when you're like 31. When you wake up, you took a minute to raise your leg because you don't want to break it. So just picture that. So imagine coming with your energy from your youth fellowship where you're like the assistant coordinator or prayer warrior there. And you've come to this church where they're just
laid back
and just enjoying God. And you, sometimes we feel that is enough reason to say, oh, I can't stay here. Like Kola said, that is now the reason why you need to carry that fire that you have in you, that energy, to infect them with it, so to say.
Channel it, right?
Yeah. And it comes without functioning.
Mm.
If there is a lack, I know God, like, not that I know God, but I trust him so much that he won't just place you anywhere for no reason. So there must be a reason why you're there. And I think instead of jumping ship, like mm-hmm. Kola said, take a pause. How can you help? Mm-hmm. The question won't be for you to call the leaders to complain or criticize about their style of preaching mm-hmm. or to let them know how very unhappy you are. But the thing is, how can you, in your capacity, in the fullness of what mm-hmm. you carry in mm-hmm. you, how can you bring out what you have to bless others? The more you give of yourself, mm-hmm. the more you get filled back. Mm-hmm. We can't just seal our containers and just say, oh, I want to have all this knowledge and all this energy I have about God all to myself. It would burn you. You can't hide the candle under a bush. You have to let the light shine. Mm-hmm. Transport what you have to others. Be a blessing. Mm-hmm. And for Debbie's friend, mm-hmm. I think, yeah, what he has, the Bible study he has, would never amount to what a church is. Mm. All I see it to be is, I just see it like a friends club. And the irony is, if this friend club continues, yeah, mm-hmm. say for 2 years, most of these friends will get married and have children, and their wives will be added to the circle. Mm-hmm. And their friends will hear about the friends club, the Bible study club. Never not call it friends club, speak mm-hmm. derogatory. They will hear about it and want to join. And before you know it, in 2 years, from 15 members, 15 friends meeting together, they're like 50. Mm. And suddenly, it becomes a church. Mm-hmm. The same thing Debbie's friend was running from becomes his reality. Does that mean that he would uproot his family and jump to another Bible study club? We're just trying to make you see that it's the same everywhere. Mm. I know some of us that we attend like conservative churches, we feel like if you go to more trendy church, like mm-hmm. them Hillsong, you get more. The thing is, like all I said, you would only enjoy the ambience when you're sitting in the congregation just lifting up your hands and just like, wow, what a good preaching. Once you become a member, you would see things that you feel like, oh, your pastor was actually better. So that's the thing. We're not Christians to expose our flaws. Mm. We're meant to cover ourselves.
Come on.
So where color is naked, if I say that his side is exposed, I need to go there and block that. So it's not obvious. Mm. And me going to block that would make him realize, oh, I've got an exposure here and come I need on. To work on that. Mm. That is what we are called to cover ourselves. There's no jumping ship. There's no greener grass over there on the other street. It's just like what Kola said. You can't choose your family. I can't say, oh, I don't like them Yusuf family. I think I'm going to go join them Akintide family. It's weird and brutal. Let's be one body, one fold, and one shepherd. And we know that Jesus is our shepherd, and with him in the mix, we can't get it wrong. Mm. He said the heart of kings are in his hands. Eternity the way he wants. Mm. So the heart of your pastors or those team leaders that you don't really like their methods, they are in his hands. Ask your father, the one you're serving in that church, to turn it the way he wants. And if you're not seeing any changes, what can you do to help? Mm. God bless you.
Thank you very much. I think that's really profound. I mean, I once heard Max Lucado say this in one of his books, that let your spiritual family give you what your physical family cannot give you.
Mm.
Basically, was speaking especially in the context of Jesus and how his immediate family, while he was, this is pre-crucifixion, they didn't really believe him. His brothers didn't believe all of his claims and all of that. Mm. But Jesus would go on to speak. I mean, there was a particular time they said Mary was waiting to see him and his brothers. Mm. And Jesus said, who is my mother and my brothers? Mm. It's you people that listen and do what I'm saying in that sense. And then Max was making that point that the church can give you what your biological family cannot. Mm. Maybe you don't feel loved in your biological family. You can find love in the church of God. Mm. But now I'm also going on then to say that there are things that you will feel that you need or you really sincerely do desire, say for your personal growth, that you may not get from your local assembly, and that's fine.
Yes.
God's expression of the body of Christ is grand.
Mm.
And he has equipped lots of people with resources that would speak your language.
Mm.
But you know that, I mean, there are many channels out there. When I say channels, I'm not just talking of TV channels. I'm saying people, agents, resources that are also disseminating the truth in a way that would help us to grow, to develop ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so there is room for that. There are podcasts, lots of sermons, YouTube, social media, and all that that is there. As long as we are being led by the Holy Spirit, it will guide us into all truth. It will let us know who to follow, what to engage with, and things like that. So that helps our development. As a pastor, for instance, I need to also be fed besides feeding others. And so where would that feeding come from? It comes from personal study. But in personal study, oftentimes you're also engaging with content from very many other sources in that regard. So there is room for that. Basically, I'm saying if there is anything that you are lacking or you feel you are lacking and you need, God will make up for it. It will lead you to channels. I like that word, channels, that can provide them. And one last thought that I would want to add. I mean, we live in a generation where
just as many children,
right? There has been this recent case, for instance, of Rabbi Zacharias. And here is a man that in his lifetime he was well celebrated, in his death perhaps even more so, until all of these recent revelations and all of that scandals revealing him as a sexual predator and things like that, and the different aftermaths of that. And I'm just imagining or wondering how many people that he has influenced, how many people have come to know the Lord because they listen to him, and what kind of impact that can have on some people. To say if the person that they trusted so much, that became as it were a sort of a gatekeeper that guided them into this community, was like that, perhaps some people might say it's high time they left the faith, it's high time they left the church. And there are so very many plurality of reasons like that why people are leaving the church nowadays. But I just want to encourage young people out there to say the church is the church of God, is the church of Christ. Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, not Rabbi Zacharias's church, not John Piper's church, not Adeboye's church, not Oyedepo's church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, let's shift our focus from men to the Christ that saved them. Men will always be men. Christ will always be Christ. Let your focus be on Christ, and as long as your focus is on Christ, we'll get where he wants us to get to. Plug in yourself, keep serving, keep enjoying, and keep flourishing from where he has planted you. Your concluding thoughts, ma'am?
Yes, just to add to that, and I think sometimes our awe of preachers and our praises of them, how fascinated we are, actually puts them on a pedestal in our mind that they are faultless and more than humans. But I just want us to remember that our pastors are men or women. They're basically humans. They're basically vessels that God is filling to give us things. So when we hear about scandals and rumors about men of God, we should not be shocked. Because they are men, they are human beings. Because they carry God in them doesn't make them less human or superhuman.
We all carry God by the way.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, because they are anointed people of God doesn't make them extra human or superhuman.
Yeah.
They are human. So, like Ola said, praise the source. Even when you hear a good message and you're awed, make sure your worship is to God and not the man. Because most of us, we choose our church based on the fantastic preachers in the churches. And it's almost idolatry because they are like, oh, spotless. Basically, just be ready to know that these men are thoughtful. So that when we're responding to scandals, we are guided by God and guided by our understanding of who God is and how very human we are. God bless you.
Thank you very much. I think it's been a lovely episode.
Yes.
The central idea is we are not made to do life alone. And we are not made to do life in the community of just people that think like us, look like us, reason like us.
Yes, sir.
Life is tension. Life That's is tension. Growth happens where there is tension.
Yes, sir.
Development happens in the midst of tension. Don't run away from tensions in the name of wanting to be peaceful or to have what you want. we always run into cases, but yeah, we are not made to do life alone. Nonetheless, do not forsake the assembly or the coming together of the saints. God bless you. Till we come to you next time, remember, you are not alone.
Today.
God bless you.
Bless you.